Hi, it's Nicole Brandon, and welcome to Passionate Living. It is now such a special and extraordinary time of the year. We just passed Memorial Day here in the United States, and we are coming into bridal season. And for those of you that have been following my career and my craft over the past couple of years, you may realize and recognize that I also have the Bridal Talk Radio and Hourglass Bride. And when I started the radio show originally, it was my deepest desire to be able to bring truly the wisdom keepers of the world to the happily ever after. The people that had the tools, the techniques, the gateways, the doorways, and the windows to the happily ever after life. And after just a couple of episodes, it became everything about love. It no longer became Bridal Talk Radio, but it really became the hub and the resource of everything you've wanted in romance and love, from first-time home buying, from grief counseling, if you lost a spouse or a loved one, how do you start over? How do you start a new love? How do you start a new life? How do you open your heart to someone else, to young women who were 22 and 23 and 24, and their husbands got killed overseas, and they were left with these small children and resources for these children, from healthcare to insurance, to what to do next, to if you're buying a house and you want to have children, do you move into a school district, or all of the different options, how to feng shui your house for love, how to feng shui your house if you want to get pregnant. Amanda Rain did many shows on how to speak the unspeakable, how you have those difficult conversations, how you actually say the things you want to say, ask for the things you want in intimacy and orgasms, things that are scintillating and scorching and that turn you on. And how do you ask for that? Or how do you say what you don't want? Or how do you be able to talk about your past in a really safe and comfortable way? Just amazing conversations. Melissa Terry came on and she talked about how to free yourself from joy if you've been raped or abused. How do you trust love? We talked about online dating. We talked about dating services. And really, even if you've been married 25 years or 50 years, how to keep that romance alive and that spark alive. We talked about greening. Green weddings, greening your house. We've talked about combining families and step-parenting and estate planning and wills and all sorts of legal issues, from prenuptial agreements to actually marriage itself, to combining businesses, to working together as a couple and spending that 24/7 time. And it's been such a joy to go through the process, because I've learned about love in the process. I've learned how to be deeper with people. I've learned how to be a better listener and a better partner and a better mate and a better friend in the process of all of this. And if you've been following my posts, you may have seen that yesterday was my parents' 53rd wedding anniversary. And my parents are the two most in love people that I've ever seen in my entire life. They look at each other with so much respect and so much joy and so much happiness and so much bliss that when they see each other, they light up, they sparkle and they shine and they make each other laugh and they make each other smile and they care about each other at such a deep and profound and loving level. That to be in the audience for this love story, to be their daughter, has been an amazing journey in my entire lifetime, from the very first second I was born to this very minute that I'm talking to you today. I have never seen my parents argue about anything. I've never, ever, 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 ever seen them have a disagreement, ever. And it kind of confused me in relationships, because I would disagree with people. And I went to my mom and I said, you know, but you never disagree. And my mom said, honey, of course we disagree. That you know, we're two separate people, but that our disagreements might be on how to raise you, my disagreements might be financial, and that they were our problems. They weren't your problems, so we would never bring them to your door. We would never be able to present them in front of you. And what an extraordinary thing that is, that they have been able to maintain in these 53 years this incredible, incredible, incredible respect and love. My parents, on their very first date, knew. My dad proposed to my mom. He truly did, on their very first date. And my mom said yes. And my dad said he knew that she had the warmest heart of anyone he had ever met. And my mom said that my dad made her smile and made her laugh, and that she knew if he could make her smile like that, that they could get through anything, life's ups, life's downs. And they have taught us so much about love and the process. And when we come back from break, I'm going to share some of those stories with you through my childhood, through my life, things that have taught me about love and romance. And then we're going to talk about this season and why it is the season for falling in love, whether you're in a relationship right now, whether you're looking for a relationship, whether you've been in a relationship like my parents for a multitude of years and are opening those doors to a breath of air, to invigorating that relationship, to enlivening that relationship, to deepening that relationship in a way that you've never thought before, and all of the ways that you can do that. So more with us here on Passionate Living on today's special episode, as we are celebrating my parents' 53rd wedding anniversary, and we are talking about remarkable and everlasting true love. Nicole Brandon, and welcome back to Passionate Living. So I'm taking today to sort of do an honorarium to my parents, as yesterday we celebrated their 53rd wedding anniversary, and it's just been such a remarkable journey to watch their love and their bliss and to go through this incredible love story with them, and to know that these two people knew the moment that they laid eyes on each other that they were meant for each other. And even today they look so in love. They look like two people that just met. And many years ago, I had an amazing, incredible, unbelievable experience. I was living in New York and I was a teenage girl. And I was doing whatever it is that teenage girls do. You know, I was having a conversation with my mom and I was still 16. I was still young. I was still in my own state. And I don't know what I had said to my mom, but obviously I said, you know, something to upset her that only mothers and daughters of teenagers can say. And the very next call was my dad. And he said, "Hi, honey." And I said, "Hi, Dad." And my dad said, at that time, my dad was the vice president of Merrill Lynch. And my dad said, "You know, honey, people expect me to hold the stock market up by myself." He said, "I'm not Midas. No man can do that, can hold up an entire stock market by himself." He said, "Nobody promises you tomorrow. That people lose lives, they lose loved ones, the stock market goes up and down, there are financial gains, there are financial losses, that there's no promises, there's nothing ever that is constant and the same." He said, "In my lifetime, the only thing that I'm able to count on at the end of every day is that no matter what happens in the world of finance, no matter what happens with our health, no matter what happens in the world situation or with people or places or situations around us, the only thing that I've been able to count on is at the end of every day, on the other side of the door, is your mother's smile. And if there's any way that I could see that smile tonight. And I said, okay, Daddy. And I never forgot that, because he didn't call in anger and say, what did you say to your mother? He called and said, I love her. Please help make her smile. And that taught me so much about their relationship, about the love and the respect and the joy and the desire they have. And so I want to share some of their secrets with you when we come back from break. And to be able to talk about this kind of life and this kind of joy. And to think about this season, this May and this June and this time of year, that there is love abounding everywhere. It's extraordinary. Right now I'm up near the lakes back east. And you're passing wedding after wedding after wedding after wedding. But I love, as I've learned so many of the tools through the years of deeper intimacy, how to ask questions, how to be able to share your heart and your spirit and your soul. And when we return, we have a very special guest. I love the sound of silence. Isn't that wonderful as we hear that in the background? If you're not familiar with Amanda Rain's work, I highly suggest it, because if you're looking to deeper your intimacy, her How to Speak the Unspeakable gives you the tools, the techniques, the ability and the agility to say everything that's always been in your heart and always been in your spirit and always been in your soul. It gives you the ability to be vulnerable and strong and brave and courageous at the same time. And feel free to reach out to me at any time if you have questions of any of our guests and how their work has bettered my own life, enriched my life, the work I've done with them, or that I've watched them work with people across the planet, across the globe, making change after change in leaps and bounds, unbelievable breakthroughs worldwide. And I'm always happy to bring people on that are effectively making a difference and change and giving you the tools to be able to open yourself up to live the happier life, the happy ever after life, and that life where all your wishes and dreams come true. It looks like we have a very special guest that is on with us today. Mark, are you with us?
I am here.
Hi, Mark. So happy to hear your voice. So as we were talking today about this incredible holiday season, and I was talking about what a special month this has been at the beginning of the show. I don't know if you've had a chance to catch any of this, but yesterday was my parents' 53rd wedding anniversary.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
Congratulations to them. My goodness.
Thank you. I know, it's really quite special.
Unusual.
And this,
thank you. Special, you're right.
And this entire month has been incredibly special for me. I was at the Dancing with the Stars finals last week, which was incredible. I was at this amazing Emmy event for The Man in the High Tower, this new series on Amazon. And one of the pinnacles and the cherry on the sundae of this month was certainly the Martial Arts Hall of Fame.
Yes, I saw you there.
You did. And I have to tell you, for those of you that are new to Mark Shuey and to his work, he is known as the Kane Master. And when we talk about a master, I always love that people call you the Kane Master, because the word itself is so all-encompassing, because not only is it somebody that has the wisdom and the knowledge and the mastery and the skill and the talent and the gifts to be the very best at what they do, but it's someone who has achieved all of that and then shares and then teaches and then lets that effervescence sort of bubble over and helps people along the way to be the best thems and the, you know, the most incredible gifts and talents that are shared to be able to bring other people to the mastery of themselves and their own gifts. And that's truly what you do. You have traveled around the world sharing your mastery and sharing your brilliance. And I have to tell you, I am so grateful for you and for all you do.
Wow, thank you. After that, I had to build a new door so my head will fit through it.
Well, it's really true. I mean, you do something so unique. And for those that are listening on this radio show and they say, what is a cane master? And so first, I'd like to travel back in time, if we can, for a minute. When you were a little boy, when you were 6 and 7 and 8, and other little boys wanted to be astronauts or firemen, was there something in you that was drawn to the physical arts? And was there something in you that helped other kids or protected other kids or taught what you knew at that stage? Or did that sort of happen at a different point in your life and there was an incident that changed that?
Well, I would say that happened later on. I mean, if you would have told me when I was in my 40s that I'd be teaching people the cane, I would have laughed at you because I was technically started with the Chuck Norris system and I was a fighter. And starting to help people, I started doing that after I got out of the Army. When I did learn, started learning the martial arts, I found out that I loved to teach. And it wasn't until I was in my 50s where I discovered, when I was 50 years old exactly, where I picked up the cane and said, this is a tool that you can carry anywhere in the world. And it's a tool that can save your life. I mean, people don't realize that a cane is a medical device, but if you look at it as a weapon, which you're not supposed to do, but I guess I do, it's a billy club with a meat hook. You can carry it anywhere in the world, and it can save your life. I mean, you can get it going over 200 miles an hour. Most people think it's a crutch, but it's not. Once they get it in their hand, it empowers people. And the biggest problem I have is telling seniors that the cane will help them when they just visualize a cane making them look old. But it's not the cane that makes them look old. They
wow.
Outside the mirror. But that's the biggest problem I have with the cane is seniors thinking that a cane's going to make them look old until they get it in their hand and they spend 15 minutes with me and get it going 200 miles an hour and empowers them. They start standing up straighter. They want to go for walks. Quick story, they had me on the cover of Wall Street Journal, and AARP picked it up and put me in their magazine, and I was getting 70 calls a day for months, people saying thank you. They didn't realize what a cane really was. And today, I would say 70-80% of the people still don't realize what a cane is. They look at it as a crutch, and look at it as a tool, and it's far, far, far from a crutch. It's what I call it, the only tool that can save your life. You can carry anywhere in the world and get
wow.
first on airplanes.
Okay, so how did you get involved in the cane to begin with? So you were the Chuck Norris Kung Fu fighter dude. And then, yes.
Well, Chuck Norris back in those days was Tong Soo Do. But I got into it. I was in a system called, my brain just stopped here. I was in Hapkido, which is a Korean style. And when you go for your third-degree black belt, you had to do 9 or so techniques with a cane. And that's when I first discovered that the cane was a tool. In fact, when my master walked in carrying the cane, I thought he hurt himself. And I went and said, what's wrong? You okay? And then he threw me around the room for about a half hour with it, and I discovered that it's not a crutch. It's one awesome tool. And I had to learn my techniques. Of course, back in those days, I was so macho, I just did my techniques and took the cane and threw it in the closet, because back in those days, I bought one of those drugstore canes that were made out of pine, and the crook on it, the little small part where you put your hand on, wouldn't even fit over my wrist. So it was not as comfortable as the canes that I make and sell today.
That's incredible. So let's talk about that for a minute, because the canes that you make are art pieces.
Well, thank you.
I mean, they're as beautiful as anything as you would see in a museum. And sometimes I'm just looking at them and I'm absolutely astounded. So does somebody say, this is my vision, or do you just sit down and dream it and create it?
Are you talking about each cane? After I've been doing it now, just canes for 20 years, and believe it or not, but a cane kind of talks to you. But it's a live piece of wood, and I have an idea of what I'm going to make the cane out of, and they just come out nice. I make every cane as though it's going to be mine, so I do the best that I can on it. And then I find real nice good straight stock, and I try to get the most dense and the strongest canes I can. Right now I'm making most of my canes out of hickory and oak. I do all American hardwoods. I was getting some stuff from overseas, but the quality wasn't there. And I just wanted to, you know, have an American-made product, since I'm an American. And so I just make it out of American hardwoods now. Although I can go overseas and get more wood, if I order 500 canes here in America, I might get 50 to 100, but not 500. But if I was getting them overseas, I ordered 1,000, they'd say, is that all? But the quality wasn't there, and I just wanted a good quality product, so I kind of slowed down a little bit and started just making all the canes myself. And I do have people that I've trained to do it. I have two other cane makers with me now also, because we're selling quite a few canes. It's just an awesome tool, and once you learn how to carry it, it empowers you. I mean, you walk down the street with your head up, and you feel like you know that if something does happen, you can take care of business. And as you might know, the seniors nowadays and the disabled are getting attacked left and right. These thugs out there, they don't care. They want somebody who's weak. And the first thing I do is teach someone how to walk with the cane, standing up straight, and then give it a spin once in a while or change hands. And people won't bother them because they realize that there's something. He's got the person that's carrying that cane is not weak, and they want someone who's weak. And you learn how to carry it correctly, and nobody ever bothers you. And if you do get bothered, you do a figure eight, holster it in your armpit, and ask them what their problem is, and they usually run away, which has happened hundreds of times. I get emails all the time telling me that they did a figure eight holster, and the whole situation they thought was going to develop went away. So I don't want to get hurt.
Incredible. That's amazing. And so how does somebody learn to use a cane?
Well, first you've got to get a nice, strong cane. You want to do it. I mean, myself, I have 24 different DVDs on the cane. There's 26 ways to hold a cane. And each way you hold it, you have different techniques. And each one of those techniques you can do self-defense with. I don't believe in going out there and causing trouble, but I believe if somebody causes you trouble, you should be able to stand up for yourself and take care of business if you have to. And there's so many people that think it's going to happen to the other person until it does happen to them or one of their loved ones, and then they decide they have to do something. And most people, I would say, that use my cane really don't need one. But I am starting to get a lot of people, because I've been advertising like crazy and getting the word out there. I'm starting to get a lot of people that have MS and cerebral palsy and they're losing their balance. When people get to be over 70, they really start losing their balance. You got to practice it. Real quick story. I have one gentleman, Marty. He came to me, 79 years old, could only stand on 1 foot for 2 seconds. And now it's been 3 months. He can stand on his 1 foot for over 2 minutes. I think it's kind of boring, because you can get your balance back if you try. And most people over 70, they die because of falling. And that cane, a crutch, whatever you want to call it, medical device, stops them from falling. Gives them a tripod so they don't fall. And it saves a lot of people's lives.
That's incredible. I absolutely love that. And you were saying that a cane is legal? You can take a cane on a plane, on a bus, on a train with you?
It's a medical device, so it's legal to carry anywhere. And the HIPAA Act, anybody in security cannot even ask you why you're carrying a cane, because that's your own personal medical history. Then it's none of their business. And the Disability Act makes it so you can carry a cane anywhere. If they take the cane away from you and you fall down, who's liable? So a cane can be carried anywhere. I do recommend to all of my students to get a prescription to carry a cane and put it in their wallet. That's what I do. But no one's ever asked for a prescription yet. I've never had any problem getting any canes on an airplane. And I highly recommend, if you're a senior over 50, definitely carry a cane, because those thugs out there, and they'll get you, and they're not going at people one at a time. They got 3 to 6 people in these little gangs. I was accosted by 6 people over here in Lake Tahoe, which is crazy. But they don't go by themselves anymore. There's more than one that's going to come at you. And you get to learn how to swing that cane 200 miles an hour, which takes about 3 minutes to learn that. It's an awesome tool.
I love this. This is so much fun. And how do people get your videos and purchase canes from you?
Well, I have a very large website. It's called Cane Masters. That's CaneMasters.com. And my telephone number is 1-800 422 Kane, which is 800-422-2263. And we answer the phone. We don't do recordings and stuff. When we're in the office, we answer it, try to help everybody we can, because we make custom canes. You can design your own cane, and we'll make it for you. I love working with wood, and on my website, you can find a spot in there that says design your own cane. And I would say probably 50% of my customers now are designing their own cane. They want a cane that will suit them, because everybody is different. Everybody's body's different. So what will work for me might not work for you, and vice versa. So
then,
you want to learn
something
that's going
to
work
for
you.
Too, like it should it be a certain come to your hip or come? I mean, how does someone know it's the right size?
Well, your hip has nothing to do with it. It has to come to your wrist, and then we add one in. So you want to stand up as straight as possible with your shoulders back, with your favorite shoes on, and then you measure from the wrist down to the ground, and then you add 1 inch to that, and that's the perfect height for everybody. If a cane is too short, you can hurt your back. If it's too long, you can't handle it properly. So it's the proper way is to your wrist, ending up straight, and then add 1 inch. That's perfect for everybody.
This is just the best information. Now, you're teaching workshops, too, because I know I've been honored and blessed, and I've been in your workshops. And I did not realize what a great workout it is. I mean, I think I'm really in shape. I'm really strong. I'm a gymnast and an aerial acrobat and contortionist and all these things. I took your class. I was whooped. I mean, it's a great workout. It's hard work.
Well, with the cane, with an exercise band, you have a complete gym. And I've designed exercises you can do standing, sitting, or laying down. A quick story. One of my friends is a disabled veteran. He goes to the VA every 9 months, and he walked into the doctor's office, and the doctor's jaw dropped. He said, "What have you been doing?" He says, "I discovered Cane Masters." He lost over 35 pounds in 7 months, and he can walk, and he can do exercises that the doctor's been trying to get him to do for 5 or 6 years, but he couldn't bend over and do anything, and now he's doing them. I have a kind of a yoga designed into my workouts also. I love yoga. And I put that into some of my workouts with the cane also. So you have a complete gym carrying a cane around with a rubber band. And a lot of people with diabetes especially, they're getting lower on insulin and they're losing a lot of weight. And instead of sitting in front of the TV eating popcorn, they exercise. And it works. It works real well.
And do you have videotapes for also the bands with the cane and the workouts?
Yes, I have actually 2 videos, DVDs that are designed just for the exercise system. I have some get you moving around and using the bands. And then I have 22 other DVDs on self-defense and taking care of business. There's a lot to know about a cane, and people be surprised how much there is to know. And I do get a lot of people, like I'm working with a gentleman, I do privates with him. He's a hired patrolman who was shot 5 times, and some of his hands and arms aren't working like they used to, so I had to train him to use a cane with both hands. He can't use one hand because neither one of his hands is strong enough because he was shot in each arm. And now he's walking like everybody else, and he's not scared to go anywhere. I can tell you a bunch of cases like that. But the people, when they first see a cane, they think of a crutch, but it's not. It's a tool, and it's an awesome tool. Another quick story. I'm in the post office the other day. There's this guy. He's about 75. He's walking, taking little 3 to 4 inch steps. And I stopped him and I said, "Sir, do you ever think about carrying a cane? Take the weight off your joints. You'd be able to walk a lot better." And he looked up. He stood up and looked me right in the eyes and said, "That'll make me look old." He looked 1,000 years old the way he was walking. But people just, they see people with a cane or they think about a cane. They don't realize that it empowers them. It's an awesome tool. And when you think about it, there's 10,000 people a day turning 65 for the next 14 years. So there's going to be a lot of people out there that need a cane. And they might as well learn how to use it properly, not just limp around with it.
And I love your workshops because you have, as you're teaching this incredible skill, this incredible mastery. You're teaching self-defense. You're teaching self-awareness. You're teaching fluidity and flexibility and reflexes and self-esteem and all of these things. And you have such a great sense of humor. And you have the best personality. And so it's so much fun to learn from you. You just feel so welcoming and alive.
Well, my mission is to go out there and help people. This is kind of another weird story, but I was outside 11:30 at night making a cane for a customer, and I don't know if it was drinking or smoking, but a light came over me and told me that's what I was here for, is to help people with a cane. At that time, I was a general contractor with 91 employees. And I got my employees all new jobs, and I've been dealing with the cane ever since, making different style canes now, and I'm just helping people. I get probably 50 emails or calls a week from people saying thank you. Number one, they love the cane, how it feels in their hand, and how they can walk anywhere. They're not scared anymore. And when people get diagnosed that they have to carry a cane, a lot of them will just lock themselves in their house. They won't go anywhere anymore. They feel like a target. They don't feel whole anymore. But they don't need to do that, because it's a couple of minutes every day, 15 or 20 minutes, you can be as strong as anybody else. And you can walk anywhere you want and feel proud and feel strong. It's a good feeling. And as you know, we're doing a lot for the veterans. In fact, I'll be in Florida next month teaching 60 more veterans how to use a cane. Because they're going to feel just like everybody else. They think a cane's a crutch, but when they find out that it'll save their life and they can protect themselves with it, changes their whole personality. They feel like a new person. Their heads are back up straight again, and they're walking the best they can straight up in the air. It's a great feeling.
I love what you're doing. I really do. It's so special, and it's so extraordinary. And I know we're going to jump to a break in just a minute, you know, and I hope that you stay with us through the break. But
sure.
Before we go, I just wanted to share from the Martial Arts Hall of Fame, because what a fantastic event.
It is fun, isn't it?
It really is. To bring together the best of the best, the people who are just the pinnacle in their field, you know, that are shining, that are elite, that are true masters, that totally have broken ground in whatever area or arena they're working in. And one of the things I love is that everybody teaches and everybody shares their knowledge. It doesn't matter how famous somebody is. It doesn't matter how many fights someone's won. It doesn't matter how many magazine covers they've been on. They're still so gracious and willing to share their secrets, their tools, their techniques to help you become more, to give more, to share more with the world. And I think that it just says something about the martial arts community.
You're absolutely right. Yeah, 40 years ago, they wouldn't do that. But now everybody likes to share, because there's so much to share out there. And there's so many different ways to help yourself and protect yourself and your loved ones. I think it should be mandatory in some of these schools. It also teaches, you know, the kids discipline and respect. And it's just something that's good for everyone. When you bow in front of class, you're not bowing to someone who's better than you or anything. You're just bowing because everybody's equal. And you're saying, let me share this time with you so I can get better at what I'm doing. And you train back and forth with each other, and you just get better. Of course, the teachers there are teaching you new stuff to do all the time also.
That's so true. And what is it like for other martial artists somebody that has studied for years in their style and in their way, in their mindset, to be introduced to the cane?
Most of them are pretty amazed because they look at it as a crutch when they first, you know, see it. But I would say I've been doing this 20 years. I don't know how many hundreds of thousands of dollars I've spent on advertising. I probably only get 15 or 20% of the market. People are scared. They hear the word cane, and they don't picture a tool that fits your crutch. And it's just as hard today as it was yesterday. I'm breaking through every day to more people. But once they do get there, finally wake up and get their hands on the cane, they fall in love with it. They put it in their system. Because it is something that, it's the only thing that a martial arts can carry around that's legal, besides their hands and feet, if you know what I'm trying to say.
Yes,
and you get yourself a nice looking cane, and then it's a conversation piece, or, you know, like a work of art. It's no longer a crutch. It's something that people look at and they say, wow, that's nice. And most of my customers are from word of mouth.
Well, I certainly am willing to pass on, because you're incredible. So more with Mark Shuey, Cane Master, when we return here on Passionate Living.
Passionate.
it's Nicole Brandon, and welcome back to Passionate Living. We have such a special guest today. We are talking with cane master Mark Shuey, which is such a unique and special world and incredible gift to almost everybody. I mean, literally, if you want to protect yourself, if you want to be strong, if you want to be flexible, if you want to change your alignment, your consciousness, your thought process, and your ability to be able to surround yourself in safety, knowingness, I mean, so many things, the cane is really the way to go. And I know the first time I was introduced to the cane, I was absolutely blown away. Very few things have excited me the way that the cane has, that I just felt like a kid at Christmas and it was a new toy. And it's an excitement that's never gone away. It's something that I just want to get better at all the time. And so right before the break, we were talking about vets and we were talking about seniors and people that usually would think of the cane as a crutch. And then once they realize this is an amazing weapon that can change their life, how everything in their world changes. And I know that you travel the world and you teach workshops and events. And so how does somebody find you or bring you in to teach for their club, their school, their organization, or even private?
The easy way is just give me a call on the phone. My office phone number is 800-422-2263. My personal cell phone is 775-772-9471. And my website, which is very big, but we're making another one right now, so we'll work with mobile phones, that's called canemasters.com. That's canemasters.com. And that has on it everything about the cane, pictures. There are a lot of stuff on YouTube. You can see most of the snippets of most of my videos and stuff. And it's a very complete site. In fact, I get a lot of compliments on it. It's amazing because I thought I was all done making websites, and as soon as I finished it, I found out I have to make a new one for mobile phones. So here I go again. But on that website, you can design your own cane, like I said before. So if you have something that you'd like to carry, what color you'd like it to be, if you want diamonds or rubies or glass or just some nice carvings on there. I have two wood carvers that are making some beautiful eagle heads and bear heads and horse heads and dragon heads, and just trying to make the cane fun to carry.
This is fantastic. It really is. And you mentioned that you have a lot of videos on there. And for someone brand new and that's not able to bring you personally to their backyard or to their event, that's ordering the videos and ordering the cane, is there a place to begin? Is there a place to start that you would say, this is the very first video you should start with just to introduce yourself or to open yourself up to the cane process?
Yes, I recommend most people. The very first tape I ever did was called The Basic Foundation, and it shows you all the blocks, strikes, swings, and pokes. And once you learn that, the rest of it comes easy. And, you know, one nice thing, which I didn't mention before, when you're carrying a cane, you can get the cane out and protect yourself faster than you can a gun or a knife or a pepper spray or anything, because you already have it in your hand. If you're carrying that in your hand, if something happens, you're a couple seconds ahead because you can, like I said, you can get the cane going 200 miles an hour and take care of business no matter what it is. We showed knife takeaways and gun takeaways and just, you know, trying to lock people up. I don't want to have anybody kill anybody, but you can with a cane. It's a versatile tool. You can bump them in the shin and make them limp, or you can take care of business depending on how many attackers you have coming at you. I had one of my friends who was a martial artist. He was with his wife. He had 8 people attack him. It was crazy. He didn't use the cane. He gave everything up and walked off, and those people are now in jail because he was a federal officer. But, you have to know when to use the cane, you know, when you can. But usually if you stay aware and you walk around, you look to see what's going on around you, you're way ahead of the ball game, and you know when to take care of it. Take the cane so you've, all you have to do is when most people carry the cane, they carry it by the crook. That's the rounded part of the cane that I use. And you just drop your hand onto the shaft by an inch, and that's the strongest point where you can carry that cane. It takes 1/10 of a second, and you're ready to go. It's a great, beautiful tool to that you can carry anywhere. It really
is. Now, Mark, when you're talking about the vets, and so many vets are also in wheelchairs, can you use the cane even from a wheelchair?
Sure, definitely. In fact, we teach them to use, you know, from wheelchairs. We have a DVD designed from the wheelchair. We had a people in up in Columbia, the street people, when the guys were coming by with their little wheelchairs or their little scooters, they would stop in front of them and demand money. And this guy designed a sheath that he put on his back. All you have to do is reach up behind his shoulders and come down with that cane and whack him in the hand, which was kind of neat because after that, after three or four different times, nobody was being bothered in wheelchairs anymore or scooters. You don't want to kill anybody, that's for sure. So we try to train them to take care of business, how to just make it so they, they'll the problem will stop. But if it won't stop, there it's easy to, if you have to, you know, do the final finality, you can. It's not hard because getting that cane going 200 miles an hour, it only takes 18 pounds to crack a skull. It only takes 7 pounds to break a collarbone. It's an awesome tool. And you remember Dana Abbott?
Oh, I love Dana Abbott and his sword work.
He's designed it's called samurai sword techniques with a cane. And that is really good for seniors because it gives them a tripod. A lot of seniors are losing their balance, and they have to put both hands on the cane, and they're just really so strong. Dana came up with a beautiful DVD with samurai sword techniques, and I designed a cane that has a samurai sword edge to it. Of course, it's still a cane, but well, I can make them, you know, like I said, any color they want, and I put an edge on that thing, and you whack somebody. If somebody grabs you, grabs your lapel, you can get their hands off of you right away. It's amazing all the different things you can do with a cane, whether they're coming from you from behind or from the side or in front of you, or when you're sitting down in a chair. People have been attacked every which direction. We have DVDs to cover every which way that you can get attacked. We even have DVDs to help you in a car, which a lot of people, with those car hijackings, you carry that cane passenger seat where you can get it real easily, and they're not going to take your car from you. It's an awesome tool. It really is. And we do try to tell the people, never say that it's a self-defense device. It's a medical device that can save your life. If someone does ask you what you need it for, you don't have to tell them, but you tell them it's a cane, it's a crutch, it's a medical device. You never use the word self-defense or anything, because then they can take it away from you. But technically, they cannot take a cane away from you because it's a medical device. And that's what's the nice thing about it. And it's recognized around the world as a medical device.
It's absolutely brilliant. I mean, I love this work. I love the gift that you share in teaching. I love the empowerment that you offer people. And I really don't know anybody else that I've ever met that actually hands somebody something and says, okay, now you're empowered. It's almost like giving, you know, somebody a superpower and saying, okay, now you're strong.
Yeah, and amazing to me, I don't have a lot more competition going because of the changing population. I figured I'd have, you know, thousands of people doing the same thing I am, but at this time, there's nobody else doing it. I have one or two copycats, but they don't even know how to make a cane. They're just doing it because I'm doing it. But I put a lot of science or thought behind each cane I make and how to use it and how it's going to work and how to get it balanced properly. And it's an art. I have to say that to it. It's a real art, but as you know, most of the people that carry my cane love it, and I make it for them. And the first thing I tell them to do is feel the cane. If it feels right, it's for you. If it doesn't feel right, feel another one, because every cane feels a little bit different. And you all want it feels good, so you want to carry it.
Well, this is genius. And as you talked about that you served, I know that we just had Memorial Day, and I want to thank you for your service.
Well, thank you. I did what I had to.
And I know that... You know, this weekend, as we're here in the United States, it's so remarkable because I'm always amazed that we just have hamburgers and hot dogs and swim and, you know, party and dance about, and people aren't really in reverence and recognition of all those that have given so much and continue to give to, you know.
Oh, you're right about that. Yeah, they don't understand what someone in the service really has to put up with and what they're trying to do for us. And I was glad I had the opportunity to do it. and so many of my, I lost so many of my friends too, but that's why I tried. That's why we have this 501c3. We do all this stuff for the servicemen for free. And just watching them stand up straight again, and there's the glow in their eyes after they learn how to use a cane. It's all worth just that few seconds of seeing that happen to them. It's really wonderful.
Wow. Really good for the heart. You truly are a remarkable being, and I feel very honored to know you, and you know, look forward to having you come back again and following you. And I love for people to contact me after they've worked with you and after they have their canes, and they can come challenge me, I can challenge them. But I'd love to hear people's stories of their empowerment and how their lives are changed. Because I know the minute that you, you know, handed me a cane and taught me how to use it, I was like, this is not like anything I've ever done or experienced before.
Well, thank you very much. I hope to see you again soon. You're a good lady. What you do too is wonderful, everybody. Let them know what's out there.
That's for sure. So Mark Shuey, cane master, and follow him. Have a cane designed. Buy the videos. Bring him to your workshops. And literally, you have empowerment in your hand. You have a tool and a technique that can change your life forever, that can align you to your consciousness, your strength, your power, your flexibility, absolutely everything. It's like being given a superpower, and nobody knows how to teach it and share it and really allow this gift to be instilled in you like Mark Shuey. So it's an honor and a privilege to have you here. Wow. Just
put it out there. Thank you so much for what you're doing. Like I said, if this just helps one person, I'm happy. And once they do get the cane in their hand, whether it's a male or a female, they're going to fall in love with it, and they'll carry it everywhere they go. That's the hardest part most people have, is to learn how to carry the cane. But once they start doing it, even their family members, when they first start doing it, kind of going, oh, you got a cane, makes you look old. And they're going, no, it doesn't. I don't look any older with the cane or with that one. Now, a lot of people are getting dress canes like they did back in the 1920s. They had three or four different canes, and they were depending on what suit they were. So that's what I'm trying to get it back to also. So it's a sign of fashion, and it's definitely an empowerment. Once they learn how to use it, they'll go anywhere. It's great. Helping a lot of people.
Well, thank you. Well, for Mark Shuey and myself, we're wishing you this incredible empowerment journey and more here when we return on Passionate Living. Nicole Brandon, and welcome back to Passionate Living. So what an extraordinary segment. I met Mark at the Martial Arts Hall of Fame a couple years ago when I was inducted into the Martial Arts Hall of Fame and into the Elite Black Belt Hall of Fame. And my very first class with Mark blew me away. I mean, I consider myself a supreme athlete, and I'm not saying that as a narcissist. I mean, I'm an aerial acrobat, I'm a trapeze artist, I ride bareback horses, I race sailboats, I high dive, you know, off of cliffs into raging oceans. I'm an acrobat and professional dancer and all, figure skater and all of these things that I do, and I consider myself in shape. I consider myself really strong, really flexible, really quick, certainly all my, you know, martial arts accolades and awards. And I took a cane class, and I was whooped. I could not believe the strength, the power, the agility. And I fell in love with his work and followed him for years. And every time I watch him teach, even when I'm not in a class and I'm on the outside, to watch people's faces light up, to see the way that they get this, to see how strong they feel in just a matter of mere seconds. And I love the fact that he's working with seniors. I love the fact that he's working with vets, and he's empowering people that don't feel that they're in power, or that feel that the can is a crutch. And as he's saying, all of a sudden their posture strengthens, and that they can protect themselves, that it's a legal weapon, that it's considered a medical device. You can carry it anywhere. You never have to be afraid. You never have to be fragile ever again. You never have to be frail ever again. It's absolutely amazing. It's beautiful work. And he really does know how to teach this like nobody's business. I mean, he is a marvelous, marvelous, marvelous teacher. And he cares so much about what he's teaching that he pours that love, he pours that knowledge, he pours that heart and that time and that spirit into you. And every single person becomes someone that's so important to him. And as he says, he makes each and every cane separately for that person, for their personality, for who they are. And the wood talks to him, and he creates it almost, you know, as this unique expression of beauty and joy that just emanates from him and is an extension of who he is as a personal being. And the canes are beautiful, beyond beautiful. I mean, even just to look at, even you just want to just touch them. They're just gorgeous. And the fact that you can learn how to use these canes to protect yourself and really can change your life. So Mark Shuey, Cane Master, find him. If you have any questions, always feel free. You know, you can email me at Nicole@NicoleBrandonWorldwide.com. I'm happy to connect you to any of our guests or answer questions on any of the segments or episodes or any of the guests that we've brought forward to you, because each of them are so extraordinary and they all have gifts and talents to share. And I'm always so pleased and so proud to introduce them to you and to be able to connect them to you on a further and a higher level where they really can change and evolutionize your life. So, you know, he is truly remarkable. There is only one Mark Shuey. There is only one cane master in the world, and certainly he is it. And so brilliant to be able to bring him on a show called Passionate Living, where we're talking about leading and living your passions. I started today's segment talking about my parents' 53rd wedding anniversary yesterday and talking about true love and segments of true love. And I was talking about Amanda Rain's work, How to Speak the Unspeakable, Amanda being one of my favorite guests of all time in all of my shows throughout the year. I don't think I've ever had a television or a radio show I haven't brought her on to be able to teach you about how to speak the unspeakable and ask for those things and have those difficult conversations in your life. I also have two other people that whose work I am so thrilled to talk about and who I've also brought onto the shows and will continue to bring on. And I would love to bring them back now that we have this sort of wedding season and the season of love and this beautiful, beautiful time of year where the birds are tweeting and the flowers are blooming and everything just is all lush and wonderful and warm and special and spectacular. And that is Alison Armstrong and her PAX programs. And I have to tell you that I recommend Alison Armstrong's work almost on a daily basis. I cannot remember a day that's gone by that I haven't met somebody that I haven't said, you should find Alison Armstrong, you should talk to Alison Armstrong, you should go to Alison Armstrong's work. She has programs called PAX, P-A-X, like peanut, apple, right, xylophone, peanut. It's PAX programs, and the way she teaches relationships, the way she teaches women about men and the perspective of men and how to listen to men and the language of men is so beyond remarkable. I've read her books over and over and over and over and listened to her tapes over and over and over and over again. I've taken her workshops, and each and every time I hear something I've never heard before, I learn something I've never learned before. And it's so funny because I have so many male friends and there are so many men in my life, and men are always saying to me what a great listener I am. And I really attribute that to Alison Armstrong's work. The way that she teaches you to listen and to understand men, the way she enhances relationships, the way that she shares can really make true love lovelier, deeper, more profound, more intimate, last a lifetime. And it really teaches you any man in your life, whether it's your father, your brother, a colleague, a business partner, the butcher, the baker, the candlestick maker, it doesn't matter, an appreciation and a love and a knowingness that you've never had before. There is a relishment, there is a joy, there is a beauty in knowing men all over the world once you've taken our courses and classes. And the same for men, to learn about women. I don't think that there's a better avenue out there than Alison Armstrong. She really is one of the funniest people you'll ever meet, and the way she teaches and the way she shares is beyond brilliance. And so we will bring her back onto the show and the People Working with PACS program as we have before. But if you have any questions or on your own or looking for it to do something today to bring you one step closer to love, go to Alison Armstrong, PACS, P-A-X programs, and I guarantee you it will change your life. And then, of course, there's my beloved John Gray, Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus, and I've been certified to teach John's work, and I have taught many, many, many relationship workshops under the Mars-Venus umbrella, as well as business workshops, the difference between the sexes and men and women in the workplace, if you have a female CEO versus if you have a male CEO, and how you be able to really work with your colleagues, work with your coworkers, how to be able to ask for things, how to be able to collaborate. His work is brilliant. His parenting work on children, everything John touches is just golden. It's beautiful and teaches you so much about love and relationships. And so my advice, my opening, my gift, my nuggets, my jewels today, and the people that I wish to share with you are Amanda Rain, How to Speak the Unspeakable. Some of the best work out there today. And it doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter if you are the president of a Fortune 500 company. It doesn't matter if you own islands. It doesn't matter if you're an entrepreneur and have just started. It doesn't matter if you've just gotten married or you have a teenage son or daughter, or you have a 6 or 7 or 8 year old or kids in college, or anybody that you want to be able to have a conversation with in life, a boss, and ask for a raise. How do you have those difficult conversations? How do you ask for what you want? How do you remain vulnerable? How do you share in a way that feels safe to you, but that allows you to get closer to the person you're talking to? How do you phrase things that you want to say and have them come out just right? And not defensive, but be opening the heart, the ear, the mind, the spirit, the soul. How to Speak the Unspeakable, Amanda Rain, top-notch work, hands down. Alison Armstrong, PACS programs, any of her courses and relationships, marriages, satisfying men, celebrating women, Queen courses, learning from a man's perspective, women, the marriage courses, anything that she teaches, any of her books, from The Keys to the Kingdom, anything that teaches you the difference between a little boy and a teenage boy and a young man and a man who has built his kingdom and a man that then has ready to be able to share it with somebody and share his life and the different stages of men and how you know what stage a man is in and how you can react and act and impart with and be part of that. All of her information, all of it is glorious. And John Gray, beloved internationally for his Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus, and Children Are From Heaven, and all of the work that he teaches, and the sexual differences in the workplace, as well as relationships and that make things work, are all incredible tools if you are really looking for deeper intimacy, deeper love, happiness, beauty, and bliss. Or you can just have, like I've been so blessed to have parents like I've had, who have taught me the beauty of respect and love. They've taught me how to love one another. They've taught us how to love each other as a family, how to care for each other as a family, how to give so selflessly, how to share on a daily basis, how to never give up on someone, how to always put other people first before yourself, to always keep an open heart. Everything that my parents have taught me along the line, each and every step of love. And my parents were never prejudiced. My parents used to tell me that other people's, you know, holidays, whatever their holidays were, whatever faith, whatever religion, whatever they were celebrating that day, that didn't happen to be what we celebrated or what we believed or what we grew up with. But my parents would look and they'd say, oh, that's the XYZ holiday, or that's whatever that is. And my parents would say, just so you know that other people's holidays are like other people's birthdays. And it might not be your day, but you celebrate in the joy of their day. You help them celebrate their life. And the love that they share for humanity, for the people, for, you know, I came home from school crying because somebody told me there wasn't a Santa Claus. I was devastated. I was heartbroken. How many of you have that memory? And my mom started to cry. And she said, I feel very sad and disheartened that someone had the need to tell you that. Because when you're little, you see a man in a red suit. And as you start to grow, so does your perspective. And you could start to see Santa in people's hearts. And I would hope that you always believe in Santa Claus and the art of giving and the art of magic and the art of wonder and the art of love. My parents, day by day, minute by minute, second by second, have taught me love at such a profound and astounding rate. The way that they teach love, the way that they share love, the way that they give love, the way that they are committed to the process of love has been such an example for me and has propelled me and launched me into this world that I have this grand opportunity to share with you several times a week. Passionate Living, Happily Ever After, Hourglass Bride, Unlimited Life, all these beautiful, beautiful, beautiful avenues and ways of living and loving and leading a life. And really knowing that the happily ever after is possible because I saw it in my own house. I saw the way that they would touch. I saw the way they looked at each other. I saw the way they smile at each other. I saw the way they make each other laugh. I saw the life that they have given each other. And from this, I'm able to give to you. And so as we wrapped up today's show, I want to wish my parents a happy 53rd wedding anniversary. Wish them many more years of happiness and dreams, and wishing you all in your worlds and your life the happily ever after. We look forward to seeing you next week here on Passionate Living.